comfortable. If you need to lie down, that's fine. This is the compassionate practice I mentioned, and I learned this from Bhikkhu Bodhi. So go ahead and close your eyes, if that's comfortable. Settle into your body sitting here in this moment. Take a few slow, deep breaths, connecting to sensations of breathing, relaxing the body, adjusting the posture as necessary. Allow your breathing to return to normal rhythm. Spend a few moments being mindful of the breath. In compassion practice, we want to open up the heart to suffering, to face what is happening without turning away or without clinging to it. And this can sometimes be very challenging. So at the start, I'd like to say just go easy on yourself, and if it doesn't feel right, or the phrases, the words I'm saying are creating a conflict for you, just go ahead and you can drop that and return to breath meditation or to loving kindness meditation. And it's useful to start the compassion practice with some loving kindness, and specifically loving kindness for ourselves. We'll do the same exercise that we did earlier, same meditation on loving kindness, with imagining ourselves, maybe our current circumstances, our current image we have of ourselves from today, or it could be sometime in the past. Get an image of yourself sitting here. Bring to the mind and the heart all of your good qualities, your good intentions to eliminate suffering, to be skillful, and wish for yourself goodwill and well-being and loving kindness. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live my life with ease. Spend a few moments letting the reverberations, the phrases, the feelings of loving kindness for yourself to be felt in the heart center. You can always put your hand over your heart, maybe feel more. Now let the image of yourself fade. Return your awareness to sensations of breathing for a few moments. And now as we move into compassion practice, we want to acknowledge that compassion is the skillful response to suffering. As the wise heart encounters suffering, either ours or another, it's opened up and responds in a way that is helpful. So I'm going to give a few scenarios with people and describe their circumstances, and as best as you can, see if you can put yourself in their shoes and see if you can understand what they're feeling as much as possible from our perspective, and understand that what they, how they suffer. And as we do this, see if you can not just have the thoughts about it, but to see if you connect with the feel, can connect with the feelings in the body, feelings in the heart center. If at any point you feel are feeling overwhelmed, you can return to mindfulness of breathing or metta practice for yourself. So first we'll go to Japan, where there's a young girl, school-age girl, standing by the side of the ocean. She's looking out to sea, looking for her father's ship. He was a fisherman, and when the earthquake hit a few weeks ago, he was out fishing. And each day she comes down to the side of the ocean and looks out for him and waits for him. And we know that at this point, he won't be coming back today, and she will never see him again. See if you can feel what that must feel like. Allow the image of that little girl to fade. Connect with the breath for a few moments. Now we'll go to Cambodia. And there's a young woman who's a mother. She's married and has three children. They live a very simple life without much resources. And her husband's a migrant worker. He travels from town to town looking for odd jobs. He's gone for periods of time. And lately she's been noticing some symptoms with her health, not been feeling well. So she goes to the local health center where they provide her with a test for HIV, and she finds out that she's positive and is in one of the later stages of AIDS. And she's looking at her children, wondering what will become of them as her health deteriorates. And she knows that she's been faithful with her husband, so that she must have contracted this from him. See if you can be with her suffering. Allow that woman's image to fade, and we go to Africa. There's a village and a family living there, the father, the mother, and three children, the youngest of whom is two. And this year, the rains have not come. The crops have failed. And the parents, they know that there will be no food available for another 6 months. The children are hungry. And there's news of a food distribution center. There's some 20 miles away over hot and desolate terrain. So they take what little possessions they have and they head out to an uncertain destination, an uncertain fate. See if you can hold that image of that family in your heart and what suffering they must be experiencing. Now allow the image of that family to fade and return your awareness to the breath. Now our next person is a corporate executive in this country with bonuses and salary. He makes well over $2 million a year. He has all the luxuries that such a lifestyle affords, and has the admiration of his co-workers and friends and family. And he works long hours, and when he comes home to an alcoholic wife. And two teenagers who refuse to speak with him. He feels the bitter pain of external success, fame, and fortune. And internally, he knows that his life is desolate. He constantly listens to the mocking voice, the self-loathing, telling him that he's a sham, that his life is meaningless. He has a chronic insomnia condition and requires sleeping pills to sleep. His body is knotted up constantly from the tension he holds. See if you can understand his suffering and hold him in your heart. Release the image of that man from your heart and return to the sensations of breathing. Now the next person you'll take into mind is yourself. Consider your life, circumstances, consider the suffering perhaps that you have now in your life or at an earlier time, maybe a particular situation that created a lot of difficulty and hardship for you, or a global sense of the various ways that you have suffered throughout the years. The sense of that suffering and feel that in your heart, and be very kind and gentle with the heart. Find yourself falling into blame or telling a lot of stories. See if you can drop that and stay with the feelings of suffering. Go of the image of yourself and the suffering that you've known, and return to the sensations of the breath. Now get an image of a dear person in your life, a loved one, who you know to be undergoing great suffering. That could be their current situation or a past. See if you can feel the pain that they know, and also the pain that you feel for them. and see if you can let go of the stories and the explanations, judgments, and just stay with the feelings of the suffering. Image of that dear person and their suffering, and return to the breath for a few breaths. And finally get a sense of all of the living beings in this world, all of the people, some that are known to us and some of them that are not, the animals we share the planet with. See if you can get a sense in your heart that all beings suffer. Humans, men, women, children, animals, birds, fish, reptiles, insects. See if your heart is wide enough to hold this global sense of suffering. If that's too difficult, you can turn to the breath. And now we'll work with that feeling with some phrases similar to the loving kindness phrases. These are compassion phrases, and they are meant to verbalize the compassion so that we can connect the suffering to our heart and our body sensations. You can use these phrases or similar phrases of your own. And like with the loving kindness meditation, we'll say the phrases silently and then feel the reverberations in the heart. And we can start with ourselves. May I be free from sorrow. May I be free from sorrow. May I be free from fear. May I be free from fear. May I be free from suffering. May I be free from suffering. Can radiate compassion phrases to someone else that we know that's suffering, a dear person, or you can use one of the scenarios that we mentioned earlier, or someone else. See if you can put a face on the suffering, an individual. Really get a sense of their circumstances and hold that in your heart. May you be free from sorrow. May you be free from sorrow. May you be free from fear. May you be free from fear. May you be free from suffering. May you be free from suffering. And now we turn our attention to this whole mass of suffering. The common link we all have through suffering. May we be free from sorrow. May we all be free from sorrow. May we be free from fear. May we be free from fear. Suffering. May all of us and each one of us everywhere be free from suffering. Allow the phrases and the images and the sensations in the heart to fade and return the attention to the sensations of breathing. any want to have a comment or observation, question?
I just know for me it's important to distinguish between pity and worry and compassion. I get pretty good around worry, and I know it's not really all I respect. Pity. So I don't know, I have to make sure I put that in the right spot so that it's actually kind and helpful to them and to myself. I'm not exactly sure how to do that.
Thank you. The compassion practice is taught in other ways too. I found this one to be pretty powerful though, and you know, when I do it, I'm able to access, you know, a certain amount of connection and work with that edge of pity or indifference or all the ways that we keep the suffering at arm's length.
One thing for me was noticing, for example, for each of the different scenarios that you gave, how I could imagine being that person. And I could notice habitual tendencies, like maybe going off into worry, or maybe go off into thinking and stories around it, or I could just stay with just imagining being that person and not go into the extra. And how, if I stayed with not going into the extra, it was actually quite easy to stay with it. But if I started to weave things around that experience, I could see how that would generate a lot of discomfort.
Thank you. Yes.
I enjoyed your scenarios because, for example, the rich man, when I first said 2 million, I had certain judgment about him. And then slowly as you wove the background, then the quality of compassion was similar towards him as with the girl who was looking for her dad. So it's just kind of self-observation of how we quickly get into the judgment and not get deeper into conditions of the human suffering.
Thank you. You know, we talked about breaking down the barriers earlier today.
Yeah. I was imagining being each of those individuals, and I was following what he was saying. And I wondered, what would I do with all the sorrow? How I was weaving story into what to do with that. As you said, to let the image disappear or dissipate, the sorrow or the worry dissipated. And then I was thinking, is it that easy? You know, is it that easy, really? And because I've been dealing with the thing around going back to normal friends and who lost a lot of things and rebuilding, blah, blah, blah. And I can't go back there because I feel so bad. I feel so sorrowful and so helpless around doing something that's significant to help out. So I've sent money and I've sent good good thoughts, good wishes, and emails and all that, but I still feel really bad. And I don't know how to let that go. I don't know how to be okay with the way that I'm feeling and go anyway to visit them. It's not that easy. It's my deduction.
Thank you.
I don't know if this would be helpful or not, but one of the techniques that was taught to me when you're with someone who is challenged and is to have a soft belly of compassion and a strong back of equanimity. And so if you can just be with your feelings and soften, you know, the belly. I don't know if that is applicable in this case, but
yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's skillful. What, you know, we talk about, you know, using mindfulness to go into the body and what's going on. And hopefully, see through our habits, our defense mechanisms, to be with, you know, what we can. Now, obviously, we all have our limits, and you know, if we're, you know, faced with overwhelming, you know, situation, catastrophe, you know, I think it's quite human to not be able to be with that and to use our defenses. But you know, what we're trying to do is see through them, and that's, you know, I think that's a good image that you have of a soft belly and a strong back. Some people have the image of an open heart, you know, but I don't know what other terms you could use, but not being like a jellyfish, you know, to be strong but, you know, sensitive, or compassion, yeah, awake and present for what is, not in often delusion, but also, you know, having maybe some boundaries where you're not getting sucked into it, or it's just so overwhelming you got to make it go away at all costs. Well, I think it might be time to uplift the energy a little bit. Do we do walking or more qigong? Or